Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, Lord, it's so wonderful, Father, that we feel the call to come into your little place you provided for us. Lord, that in itself is such a privilege. Many, Lord, in this world don't have that call to reach out and to gather together and to hear you speak. Father, crying out for revelation in their hearts. But Lord, you've placed that in ours, and that's why we're here, to hear you speak to us. Lord, where can we draw closer to you? Where can we climb, Father, and get, Lord, that great day is soon to come. Father, may we be ready. Help us, Lord, tonight. Lord, you know our needs, so we look to you. Bless each and every one that's made the effort to come out, Lord, and just strengthen them. Lord, we ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Praise his name. Turn with me in our Only Believe books. I like to start on 54. Amen. There is a fountain. Amen. Have you been to the fountain, saints?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sin sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there
shall be
shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save.
Hallelujah.
When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, oh, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave.
Amen. There'll be a time, saints, we'll be able to sing perfectly. Amen. Full of wind. Hallelujah. He's so wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Over just a page there, 62. Amen. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same.
Yes, amen.
Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, still the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He who was the friend of sinners, seek thee none now. Sinner, come and at his footstool penitently bow. He who said, I'll not condemn thee, go and sin no more. Speaks to thee that word of pardon as in days of yore. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Oft on earth he healed the sufferer by his mighty hand. Still our sicknesses and sorrows go at his command. He who gave his healing virtue to a woman's touch, to the faith that claims his fullness, still will give as much. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He who pardoned Aaron Peter never needs thou fear. He that came to faithless Thomas all thy doubt will clear. He who led the loved disciple on his bosom rest, bids thee still with love as tender lean upon his breast. Oh, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is.
to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He who made the raging billows walked upon the sea, still can hush our wildest tempest as on Galilee. He who wept and prayed in anguish in Gethsemane drinks with us each cup of trembling in our agony. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. As of old, he walked to Emmaus with them to abide. So through all life's way he walketh ever near our side. Soon again we shall behold him, hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be the same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name.
Hallelujah. Are you glad he's the same yesterday, yes, today, and forever? Amen. Hallelujah. He's so wonderful. Brother Hamilton, could you come up for the altar?
Praise his name.
That's the blessing. Make me more like thee, dear Jesus.
Make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful we have this opportunity, Lord, to come before you. Yes. Lord, the needs of the people is on their hearts, Father, and they raise their hands signifying, Lord, that something's troubling them, Lord, and it could be anything, Father, in this life. We're so full of problems and cares, but Lord, you paid the price for anything that we would do, Lord, and come up against. Father, you said you wouldn't put anything more on us than we could bear. You paid the price for our healing, our salvation, Lord. So, Lord, it doesn't matter what we bring to you. And we know that you care. We know you are. You're living, you're alive, you're here today. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you just look down, Father, and reach out and touch everyone that's, Lord, got a need on their heart. Meet it, Lord, is our prayer. And Father, Lord, may they go forth rejoicing and testifying of your goodness.
Amen.
Lord, we love you and want to spread to the world, Lord, what you do for us. We adore you, Lord, and want to magnify your holy name amongst all that we walk with. Now bless the service, Lord, the remainder, Lord, and as your word comes forth, Lord, just have your way in everything that's said and done.
Yes.
We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Would somebody have a song on your heart? Amen. Praise his name. Would you have something else tonight, Karen? All right, I ask you to come. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, if you will. Single chorus, only believes, ask our brother to come.
Yes.
Only believe. Oh.
Precious Lord, once more we just want to say thank you for the opportunity to come in and together underneath your presence, Lord, with saints of like precious faith, and just to sing the songs, Lord, and to let our minds go back, Lord, to what you've done for us. And thanking you so much, Lord, for the hour in which we live, and Lord, that you saw us before there was ever a moon or a star to be a representative for you in this day and hour. And Lord, we just pray that you'll let your precious word continue to fortify us, Lord, and to prepare us to be the soldiers that you need us to be, Lord, in the final moments of time, that through our immortal bodies, Lord, you would be able to express to this people and to this nation, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word this evening and just pray that it'll do us good, Lord, and that it'll help where we need help. Cause us to stir our hearts, Lord, to press on a little more, and we'll never fail to see that you receive all of the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isn't he wonderful?
Yes, he is.
Amen. While you're standing, if you would, we'll turn over to Acts, the first chapter. Amen. Just a little text tonight. Pray it'll be able to strengthen you, encourage you to think about where we are and where we are headed. Amen. What God's doing. But pray that we're still feasting on the message our pastor brought this morning and praying that these things are becoming more real to us with each passing day of the life of Christ being made manifest through our mortal bodies. And I'm going to read a little bit out of Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. And I know I've read quite a bit, and I pray our pastor doesn't think I'm trying to take his message. It's not that at all. But I just want to keep you stirred, keep your mind renewed to these things, and is just keep these things before us as we go through. But here in Acts, the first chapter, and let's just start here about the, we'll just start at the third verse. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. May the Lord bless your reading his word, and you may be seated.
Amen.
Just like that, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me.
Amen.
Amen. And just wanted to think a little bit about how this God just working through our mortal flesh, as the pastor read the scripture this morning, that Christ's life would be made manifest in our mortal bodies. And oftentimes when we start to think about the book of Acts and you speak about the Holy Ghost falling, most people immediately begin to think of the signs and the wonders. And they immediately begin to place that this is how Christ is going to be seen. And God didn't never do away with signs and wonders. He never done away with the moving of the Holy Spirit. He never said that men couldn't be healed today and miracles wouldn't happen. But there was a time and place for all the seasons as we look back through the scriptures and even see what God did through the prophet in the last day. And even back in the early 1900s when this last day Pentecost began, God restoring and seeing all that was taking place. And just thinking about how all of these things have been recorded, the great exploits of the Holy Spirit was doing, the workings through that time, and then to what he'd done through the prophet to see how men has recorded it.
Yes,
and wrote these things down. And I want you to think about this. Just bear with me, but this was in Christ as the Mystery of God Revealed. We'll read this before then. We just want to read some examples of some things that happened in the scriptures. This was paragraph 300 in Christ as the Mystery of God Revealed. And if the life of Jesus ever puts forth another body of believers, it'll bear the fruit that the first one did. And they'll write a book of Acts behind it because it'll be the same life. See what I mean? You can't get away from it. It's the life of Christ in you, been injected in you by the Holy Spirit. and itself living its life through you. Blind leaders of the blind, notice God holds this key alone. No theologian can tell you. It's not known. It's hid from them. They know nothing about it. So the schools, when you say, I got a Ph., LLD, you only make to me, I believe, and to God, and to any real true believer, that means you're just that much farther away. You just backed off. God is not known by education. He is not known by how to explain it. God is known by simplicity and of revelation of Jesus Christ to the most illiterate person. Not your theology. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and no other rocks accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock, Protestant rock, no other school, no other nothing. But on exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ through the new birth. He's born in there, and he injects his own life, and your life is gone. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminences to the people that they see the very life and works, signs and wonders that he did, is doing the same thing through you. Outside of that, the rest of us not even called to at all. Watch God's great revelation unfolding. But by the lack of this revelation is why we have so many different divisions among us and so much mockery. And so much division among us is because the people lack that revelation. They lack the revelation, the teachers. Paul, after this great revelation of Christ, said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, be sure to read that as you write it down. Watch, he said, I never come to you with wisdom. Look at the man who did have wisdom, or look at the man who had the scholarship. I never come to you with them kind of words. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, oh, I wish, he said, let's read it now. And just stand for a minute. He says, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, listen to the great apostle Paul, and we read this here not too long ago. He says, look here, I, Paul, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I never said I'm Dr. So-and-so, see, Brother Branham says. But he says, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my beseeching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. See, there is the gospel. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say go teach. He said go preach. In other words, demonstrate the power. And these signs shall follow them. Just teaching doesn't do it. It takes the actual Spirit of itself demonstrating these signs. Listen to this. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh my, see to change the man. Not in what I can explain away and say he's not the same when he is the same. If I do that, it shows to me, surely a man tell me that would show me he don't have the revelation, the threefold revelation of God, see? Howbeit in weakness among you that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, but of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See, the threefold mystery, even hid the wisdom which God ordained before the world unto her glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, none of the priests or anything knew anything, for they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And you say you're wrong about rabbis and preachers there. Who crucified him, huh? But oh, on and on we could go. Read it, see, and save time. Not get it. And he drops down here. He says, and Paul, this great intellectual man, never tried to express his great theological terms upon the people. He humbly accepted the word of the Lord, and he lived the word so that it expressed through him. And he lived so godly until they seen Jesus Christ in him so much till they wanted his handkerchief to take it and lay it upon the sick. There is the life of Christ. Amen. And I want you to think about that. And I'd like to go back and read, I believe it's in John, the 5th chapter, if you want to turn with me. Just so this would be speaking of Jesus, so it would be fresh in your heart. And there's many scriptures you could have chose to express this, but I was just thinking of this one because people get, they think, you get so many that once they get a revelation and they get out there and they we're starting to see more and more. And the Bible told us that there would be, they would show great signs and wonders insomuch it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. And we see that move starting to take forth of all of these preachers getting together and laying hands on people and praying for people, and people will get healed. Things may happen. That don't mean that we've been well taught that it's the genuine Holy Spirit upon the false anointed. So don't be deceived. God's not mocked. He's laid out his word for us to see exactly what happens. But let's talk about the life that Jesus lived and what we saw expressed through the book of Acts just a little bit. Here in John, the 5th chapter, and just we'll just start here about the first verse, just catch a little bit of this. I'm very familiar, but we're just thinking about this along with Jesus. Remember, Jesus said several times, I do nothing except what the Father shows me first. Amen. So to think about him, and now he was human, in a human body, that was a flesh body, and being here, to think as to walk as you and I did, he had feelings. He had to think like we do. He felt pain. He cried. He knew what it was to lose a brother when he cried at the tomb of Lazarus. So think about that a little bit. As him as a man walking down through here, a human being, a fellowship. Yes. He says, after these were the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, and having five porches, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into that pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And as I want you to think about that, how many people, it said there, multitudes were laying and round. And Jesus being walking down through there, don't you think he probably saw some children? He probably saw all kinds of things laying there at that pool waiting for the troubling of that water. And in our human reasoning, in our human affection, in his own, at that time, if he wasn't being led by the Holy Spirit, why, you'd want to just go in there realizing that he had already turned the water to wine, seeing what God had done through his life already. And to come to this place, the compassion that he had for people, to walk in there, how it would have just been, oh, I'll just heal everybody here. But that was not the will of God. Amen. And that is, as we know, the scripture says, those that are the sons of God, they are led of the Spirit of God. Yes. And how, as we see this become, our this last few moments of time, how sparse this life of Christ being lived out through a people. It's not going to be a great big showing. It's not going to be a big reaction like we saw when he began to restore Pentecost. And when the prophet was here doing the mighty signs and wonders to catch the attention of that bride, to realize that there was a message fixing to come forth. God may not do that movement now anymore. But there's going to be a people that's going to be so led by the Spirit that the exact life of Jesus Christ, there will be ones here and ones there that he's going to grab a hold of. But just think, as Jesus walked down through there and saw this one person, he said, Wilt thou be made whole? And that impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. And when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise and take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. You just think about his attitude for a moment. And in the obedience, he told me to get up, and I got up and took it, and I'm going to carry it all the way. But look what he was doing. Look at God working on both ends. And the other thing, it had to be the Sunday. Think about it. God was letting all of these things happen for a purpose, and it was happening right in time to create the disturbance, the hatred of these Pharisees and Sadducees as he was tearing down the law at that point to them, trying to show them grace was intervening. But think of, as he's walking through here, think of that. But this man, as he took up his bed and he walked, he said, and immediately the man, let's drop down here. He says, then they ask him, what man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he said, he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. And after Jesus findeth him in the temple, he said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Amen. It didn't matter what man had to say about it. God had told him what to do. And he was following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about that. I'm going to get ahead of myself just a little bit. I was going to go into the book of Acts, but I don't know. But I want you to think about this. This was in a message that Brother Branham preached, and I didn't get a chance to print it, so I had to pull it up on my phone. But it was preached on December 20th, 1959, and it was the evening service, and he was having the prayer line. And we'll just start here about paragraph 100 just to catch what was happening. He said, "There's a lady sitting next to you there. She was so happy about it. She had heart trouble, and she wants to be prayed for. So if you'll just lay your hand over on her, all right, now you go back to Chicago and be made well. Amen. I don't know that woman either. Know nothing about her, but God knows you." See, he's making himself identified with us. "If thou canst believe, all things are possible." This little Jewish woman sitting here, she was praying too. That's right. "You was praying for me to say something to you." And Brother Branham says, "I saw your troubles this morning, but I just didn't call it." Look at that. Think about that. It was brought to his attention. Standing there praying, he saw her that morning. But it wasn't time. God, for whatever reason, that wasn't the time. So just think about how much control it would take to let the Holy Spirit have that much sway over us. We desire for everyone to see this message. We desire for many of our loved ones to truly see the reality of God's precious word and what's happening in this hour. But we're living in a time where it's God's chosen purpose and his plan. We're coming down to the closing moments, and he said he wouldn't lose any of his. But it's not going to be big multitudes, and it's not going to be go preach to everybody, and everybody's going to see it, and everybody's going to come in. But we can be directed by God for that one situation if we would just get into that place to where he can use us. And Brother Branham goes on to say, he says, "You were praying, and I seen your troubles this morning, but I didn't call it. But them feet you've been bothered about is going to be well, so just don't worry about it anymore." But God knew all the time. But there's a time and a place for God to move and to do what God wants to do. But as we get more into this reality of him expressing and that life being lived out through us, it's to his glory, not ours. We're just his vessel that he can use at the time and place where we seem fit. But it's got to come down to that life be so expressed that people will see it in you. In the message, this was in the message, identification, preached January 23rd, 1963. Brother Branham was talking about, and I didn't print the whole thing, but he was talking about Jesus' sinless nature so expressed Christ, or so expressed God. Amen. And then he dropped down here to paragraph 101, and he started, and he said, "And a man can't be that in himself. There's no way to educate it. There's no way to join it. There's no way to baptize it. There's no way of doing it. Only just kill it and let it be born again and a new nature come in. That's the only way to kill that nature of yourself that you might become. And when the word becomes a living thing, it just expresses itself through you. And then you are a looking glass. When people see you as a mirror, because you know God has made a way, people won't read the Bible. So God has made you a Bible. And you are what you do. People is looking at you. And God sent his mirrors, his expressed expression of himself in the prophets, because the word came to the prophets. And they expressed God therein through their prophecy that God gave them. And now God expresses himself through his son, Christ Jesus, as he takes us in as adopted children and put his spirit in us, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" See, in other words, my God, then the Holy Spirit in us, Christ's spirit expressing Jesus Christ, and the people look at you. And how we, as we move into this, think about the expression that must be in our life, in every action, every move we make, that people's so confused. People's heard what Christians are. People, "Oh, you're a Christian because you go to church." That's what many people is so messed up. But there are genuine people praying and seeking God for an answer. There's people all over. There's people in many message churches that are seeing the chaos that's starting to take place. They see the falling away, the sliding away. They see what's happening. And in their hearts, there's a cry. And I want you to think back where you was 15 years ago. and what was in your heart, what was pulling, what was driving you, and God saw fit to bring us right here and place us underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and begin to prepare our hearts for His Word. Now, God may be doing that all over this earth. There's little groups we know nothing about everywhere. But God is preparing that bride for that last and final work. And it's going to be a few. It's not going to be a whole church. But it's going to be a group of believers that believe this message with all of their heart. And they have surrendered themselves to God to the fullness. And they have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And their soul has been changed. And they are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And their life is going to bear record and witness that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And through the manifestation of their life, people will see that it's Jesus Christ and no one else. Amen. It's a life you don't live yourself, but He comes in and lives by Himself.
Yes.
And how, as we see that go forth, how it ought to be catching our attention. Lord, is my life every day, who's expressing more? Yes. And that's where we should be getting serious about. There is a work to be done.
Amen.
I want you to think about Jesus told them disciples, you go up there in that upper room and don't you come out of there until you've been endued with power from on high. Yes. Then you will be a witness for me. And then you, in all places, to the utmost parts of the earth. Over here in Acts, the second chapter. Just to, as Jesus told them, think about the, you just kind of read it in the manner as events was taking place. And maybe these things, I don't have a chronological Bible. I'm just reading it the way it is and just taking it. But just think about it here in Acts, the second chapter. Oh, I'm sorry, the third chapter. And here's Peter and John, the first verse. Peter, and now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Think about it. As you begin to understand the scriptures, and when God begins to move and do things, there's no man that's standing there that gets the glory.
Amen.
There's no man there that gets raised up that, oh, look what he's doing. No.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking to where all power comes from.
Yes.
And knowing who is moving, and that it's the work of the Holy Spirit to do that.
Amen.
Work. Oh, it's not an age to be deceived by what's happening. God has plainly declared what would happen, and we see it, but He's going to do a genuine work through a people that not only have the mechanics, but the dynamics and the mechanics together, working together with a fullness of that stature of Jesus Christ, that very literal life re-expressed, not a portion over here and missing a portion over here, but all of it precisely with the Word. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why ye look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, in whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, and whereof we are witnesses. Amen.
Amen.
The Scripture being fulfilled right to the letter.
Yes.
So think about those things. Amen. We still got a little bit of time here. Let's just hop over to Acts, the 8th chapter, real quick. I read this, used it as an example here not too long ago, but just want to put this with this. And it's one thing, we may see someone, and we oh, our heart goes out to them. We really want to tell them about this message. We want to do this. We want to show them what they need. And I tell, that's all wonderful. But is it the right time? Is it the right place? Well, and you would say, what's God's word? It's always the right time. No, there's a time and a season for everything. Nothing happens without a chance, by chance. God's got a plan and a place, and he's got a people that's going to be, that was predestinated to fulfill it to exactly the way it would bring glory and honor to his name. So think about this. Here's Philip over here in the 26th verse. And we'll start at the 25th verse of the 8th chapter of Acts. And when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him and read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, if some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both in the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And that eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. But look at God move one man for one man. And it worked out exactly. The word was preached and the work took hold. And he believed and watched him follow it. God moves on both ends all the time. Every situation that happens is not happening by chance. You know, we see many things happen as all through our life. Situations happen. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's my tire went flat. Something happens along the way. Are we in tune enough with the Spirit to realize it's just another day and that's all we can think about? Or can we just have in our minds, is there some way through this situation God's going to get the glory? Is there some way through this I can express to someone else what he is to me? Not with a bunch of words, but with a life lived. They took notice of Peter and John and James that they'd been with Jesus. They took notice of Paul and Peter. They saw that life being lived out through them. They saw their actions. They saw the expression. Just as he's speaking about Paul, the life was so lived till they wanted to take a handkerchief from his body because of the things they were seeing happen. Here in Acts, the 10th chapter. Amen. Let's try to catch this one in here. Just think about this expressions of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit through these men and what was happening, being led by the Spirit. And this here was speaking about Peter. But I want you to notice how God, you know, sometimes I was thinking, I was listening to a testimony of Brother Earl Williams. I don't know if any of you have listened to it. But he was speaking about his mother and father back before they ever knew about Brother Branham. And how they were in the Presbyterian church and how they were unsatisfied with what was happening and things that were beginning to be preached. And so they'd went to prayer and they'd been going church hopping, so to speak, looking for, trying to find something. And it was early on, I think it was a Sunday. I don't know for sure if he said it was a Sunday, but said it was early in the morning. They were having prayer at the house, and a knock came at the door. And they opened the door, and it was a little Spanish man. And he said, he told his mother, he said, I was just passing by, but the Holy Spirit stopped me and told me to come knock on your door. And at the time, he said, I am Pentecostal, and I have a little church down here, but the Holy Spirit asked me to stop, and would you like for me to pray with you this morning? And he said he came in, and he said his dad, being a Presbyterian, was a little bit shocked, so he ran around and pulled all the blinds down because he didn't know what was going to happen in the house. And he said they knelt down and began to pray, and he said the Holy Spirit really visited him that morning there in the house. And from that day on, she got her answer. And he expressed it in the manner he said he believed God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said she was a very nervous woman. And he said there was, she would get into these nervous stages and go into the bedroom and lock herself away from the whole family. And he said that when she would do that, he said anybody would just touch the doorknob or rattle it, she'd go into a screaming fit. And he said it was really hard. You can imagine having to live with that as a husband or even a child. And he said from that day forward, she never had another fit. He said God touched her right there. And then God used brother, his dad was Carl Williams, and he was very instrumental through Brother Branham's message, help and serve and do things with the, they got in with a great business. But just look how God moves. And you don't hear much of that anymore. And our pastors mentioned it, and those of you that came to this last day Pentecost, seeing people were praying, they wanted to see those gifts operating. They wanted to God to move in their life. They wanted this. They were seeking God all the time for that to happen. We realize that time's gone, but are we seeking God just as earnestly today for, Lord, what is it today that I can do that you would be expressed through my life? Do I see the fullness of this word in the manner that I should? Am I seeking it that greatly that God could use us in the same manner? Is that where we see that this work must be finished? Our pastors brought messages on that, but is it catching our heart to that tune of, it's not just for days gone by, but what about today? Right before he comes and catches us away, he said there would be a work for us to do. What is it? I don't know, but we must be in tune to catch whatever it is he wishes. Is that one last sheep out there somewhere that needs someone at the right time to see an expression to say that's the truth and that's the reality right there? What do I need? And give you an opportunity to lead them to where they need to be. Amen. To show them what's there, what's available, that there is an inexhaustible fountain flowing.
Yes.
But are we in that tune of the Spirit that, Lord, what is it that I can do? What can I do for you?
Yes.
You know, it used to be praying, Lord, and someone would need groceries. Somebody'd show up and deliver the groceries.
Yes.
And we're living in maybe a little different time. Maybe everybody's a little more financially stable, it appears. But what about something, maybe someone needs just a prayer. Someone needs someone to call out their name in prayer, uphold them, giving them strength. Are we in tune that we would, Lord, who can I pray for today? Who needs me, Lord, to pray for them? What can I do for brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, Lord, that would be helpful? Or what about just maybe my neighbor that's next door? Is there something I could do for them that, Lord, would bring glory to your name? Not that you get any recognition from it, but through it all, Lord, that you would be expressed, that you would receive glory. But amen. I'm never going to get anywhere if I. Let's see here. Let's just catch this here in the 10th chapter. And there was a certain man in Syria named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms, much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So a sincere man. What? I want you to notice that he was sincere.
Yes.
And a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God come in to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. And he said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he declared all things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up onto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again and said the second time, What God hath cleansed, thou shalt not call common, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. I want you to think and look at the preciseness, God moving. He's never late. It's always right on time. Yes. And when God's in it, it's going to work exactly the way he wants it to work. And that is the tune that we must be in as Lord, yes. Show us exactly where we must stand. Amen. You say, Tim, you think we're all going to? No, it's not about doing great signs and wonders. But it's being in tune with the Spirit for that one moment, whatever it is, whoever needs, wherever it's needed. It might just be whatever. I don't even know. But you need to be, we must be so in tune that, Lord, whatever your will is, let me be ready right there. And look at this. This man was crying out. There was a great burden on his heart. And God was going to work through Peter to show him. He says, Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was her name, Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear the words of thee. And then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And just to save a little time, we realize we've used the other end of that. But where Peter began to speak, and as preached the word to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon those that were listening. Think about how God moves. Precisely. And let's just to get, we're running out of time here. Let's go over to Acts, the 16th chapter, just to catch some of these things to put in our heart and to think on these things. Christ's life, who was being expressed? The leading of the Holy Spirit was leading these people. The acts of the Holy Spirit would be manifested through their lives. Yes. And here we'll talk about this is in 16, and I've got. We'll just start here about the 13th verse, just to catch all of it. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, and whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of deviation met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. And we know Brother Branham expressed that and said, Paul couldn't cast that devil off of her till he had permission. Yes. And I want you to notice how this ties in with this the rest of this chapter. And think about it as we read it all together. Yes. So many days. She did this many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gainsaying was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. I want you to keep this in mind, just to catch it as we get farther over into this scripture. Here they are being screamed at, tossed before these magistrates. And the magistrates told them, take their clothes off and beat them. We're going to throw them into jail. Now, Paul could have very verbally said now what he's going to say at the end of this chapter. But he didn't. He never opened his mouth. Silas never said anything. And I want you to catch this as we get over to the tail end. He says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. A pretty bad situation. They could have done a whole lot of complaining. They didn't hear none of that going on. Paul could have really voiced what he's fixing to say here in just a moment, but he's not said anything. He's just sitting here in an old jail, beaten, stripes on their back. I'm sure that was painful. Sitting there and just singing praises unto God. And the prisoners heard him, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord unto all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, rejoicing, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, notice, God had a purpose for them to be in that jail. I want you to look at that and look what led up to that. This woman going along behind him, doing all she was saying, and Paul being underneath the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he couldn't say anything. There was a time and a place for it. He waited. God gave him the okay, and look where it landed him, right in jail. And he could have opened his mouth over here and said some pretty hard things when they caught him, because Paul was a Roman. But he didn't. He didn't say anything. Went down in that jail, and then look what God did for that jailer. God had a purpose for Paul and Silas to be there. But now watch as the purpose has been fulfilled, and watch how Paul responded. He said, and when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeants, saying, let those men go. And when the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now they do thrust us out privately. Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. Amen. He could have opened his mouth back there and said, I am a Roman and I've got a right. But he didn't. He didn't say anything because the Holy Spirit forbid him. He was waiting. There was a purpose. All of that was happening. Yes. Just remember that. Sometimes situations happen in our life, and we may have the right to say what we're going to say, but maybe it's not the right time. Right. Hold your peace. It'll be a place where it'll fit. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I pray God teach me that more greater every day. Amen. Some of us are more strong-willed than others. Some of us are born under different signs, unfortunately. Some of us are a little more strong-headed. Maybe we're a little more stubborn, and God has to beat a little more out of us. But Lord, get us to that place that we open not our mouth unless you allow us to speak, Lord. Amen. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. How do they now thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they had heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of their city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. God's never late, and he's always right on time. Amen. And what God can do if we will but yield to him. Yes. They will write. If time was to go on, they would write another book of Acts of the works of the Holy Spirit in your life, my life, as true believers. Yes. Amen. But it's going to happen. But it's got to be made manifest. This word has got to be vindicated. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. And this life has got to be so expressed. Yes. Whatever he desires of us, whatever's needed. You know, there's so much places. When I look around, and I was thinking, when you look at the message churches that have rejected and tore down, and just, they want nothing to do with the reality of the word that was delivered. Right, and I look around at all these denominations that are around us. Good people. Caught up in an organization trying to, and many of them very sincere. I was in a hotel this past week, and as I turned, it just caught my eye. a young gentleman sitting at a table getting ready to eat breakfast and not dressed in any way that I would have thought him to be a Christian. But he bowed his head and was blessing his food when I turned, and I just stopped for a moment and watched him. And I got to thinking about that, of all these people, you know, when you think of the little invitation that went out of that great supper, and he bid many, and this one did have excuses, they couldn't come. How many people in these denominations my age have never heard that there was ever a prophet, have never had that opportunity? No, I don't think it's time for me to go running through these churches trying to tell them there was a prophet king. But if God's got an elected seed that's finding their journey somewhere, he can still lead you to that right person. He's going to see that none of his be lost. He's not going to miss any. But may we be in that position, wherever it may be, whoever it may be. We can't save everybody. That's not the way it works. But we can be led of the Spirit to catch the attention of one of those last little ones that he's looking for. And may we be in tune that not only can we just tell them about it, but may our life be so in tune they can see it living and see that manifestation of Jesus Christ made real and alive and not just another Bible thumper, they might want to call it. Or somebody else, oh, you just go to church. No, I live what I believe, and I want my life to express it in that manner. And man, through that, may he receive the glory, whatever he would do in my life. Amen. I pray something was said to strengthen you, something to catch your heart, stir your heart, and let's press on a little more. Amen. We're facing the last few moments of time, and there's a work for us to do. It's not a time to lay down and just be churchgoers. No, he still needs you. It don't matter if you're 15. It don't matter if you're 80. He's got a work for you to do as long as you're sitting in this life. Don't never think, I'm just getting older and I'm just going on. No, whatever day. Lord, how can you use me today? What can I do for you today, Lord, that would express you to this people that are surrounding me and that's in my fellowship? Amen. Let's all stand if you would. May it just stir our hearts. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing it on page 247. Jesus, use me. Amen. Hallelujah.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. By eyes of faith I see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear thy servant be. Oh, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. I'll stand for thee, dear Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. Lord, help me to be willing to say yes. Oh, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, please don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the little rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. But best of all, he is my coming King. Amen. Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, please don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Amen.
You know, we each one will have different circumstances of where God gets a chance to use us. And you know, I had the opportunity to get invited to a little get-together where many people just don't believe the truth. And you know, faced with many things, and I had an opportunity not to argue, not to fuss, but just to drop a little few nuggets to let them know where I stood and what I believed. And you know, how each one of us, there's people that are hungering, there's people that's just maybe been in this message a short time, and they only know one or two things. And you young people have a great opportunity, as you have a chance to be invited. It's not what you can say, but it's what you can live. If God's dealt with your heart to wear your hair long and your face clean and wear your dresses right, you do it boldly. Yes. And let them know where you stand and give God the glory.
Amen.
And the same with us men and young boys. Be thankful for what God has given you and don't hesitate. If they want to get into whatever it is, take a stand for what you believe.
Yes.
And let God have the opportunity to use your life to catch the attention of someone else. There's some that I might be able to reach. There's someone you might be able to reach. God, in the book of Acts, I didn't read it, but God added to the church daily such as should be saved, not man. And God knows, but he's wanting to use our lives to show others. And there are people that are hungry. There are people that are looking. There's people that is searching for a truth. And it's not about how much maybe you can quote and tell them the scriptures, but they want to see a reality. Everybody can quote scriptures. Everybody can tell them all about it and then turn around and use the Lord's name in vain. As our pastor was showing us Thursday night, think about it. It's a life lived that you can't live yourself that brings an expression that they know that's the word laid flesh right there. Oh, may it catch our attention greater. And may we just continue to sing that little song, Jesus Use Me. Amen. As our pastor comes singing again. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. But best of all, my coming King. Amen. Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my
thinking about that. Actually, when Brother Timothy first got up, that little song came to mind, and thinking about what we said this morning and what he said tonight, and even though it's humble, let my world crumble. Thy will be done, Lord. Amen. If we can just catch the reality of that, then God can use us. Amen. So we're thankful for the word tonight, aren't you?
Amen.
I was refreshed, and it's just so good to hear these precious nuggets that is so important and such reality in the last moments of time which we live. I'm so thankful for it. Let us bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night now, and so thankful for the Word of God that you've given to us. And how there's just something, Lord, that we know it's your mercy and grace, but there's something inside of us stirring and churning, Lord Jesus, to get us ready for something special that's about to happen. Lord, you told us in your scripture that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and just going on with daily life. But Lord, all of a sudden, something happened. And Father, we know that something good is about to happen. Something that's so wonderful, Lord. We're getting closer. We're just to think now, Lord, we're from the time from last Sunday to this Sunday, we're a whole week closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And Father, what a blessing that is. Especially to those, Lord, that's loving the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask that you would help each one of us, Lord. And Father, if there's one in here and one within our midst that is seeking the Holy Spirit, Lord, fill them clear full. Lord, give them a change of that soul. That, oh God, their life can be completely changed around and you can express yourself through them. So we thank you now for all these things now. And we just want you to have your preeminence. Everything in our life. And Father, as we leave this little place again, just watch over us and keep us safe. And bring us back the next point in time if you should tarry. Again, Lord, that we may glorify you, that you have a greater preeminence in our lives. In your wonderful name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it one more time.
Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble, though the cost be great, I'll work for you.
God bless you. You're dismissed.